In any event, we finally joined the synagogue in 1962. We felt at that time that our older child at that time was 4 years of age, and it was time to think about affiliating, especially since at school, when they got into school, they were, you know, like the only Jewish child in the class. There were no other Jewish children. They were scattered through the schools, and we felt it was important for the children, and it was for us too. And of course, and then I was pregnant, and in 1963 we had our third child, Janet, and she was named at Beth Israel.
Besides my research, I was also teaching in the department, and we used to teach the lab courses on Saturday mornings. And I was working with Professor Christman. Christman.
Adam Christman, right. Yeah.
And he was the senior lecturer, and I was the junior one, of course. And I had to tell him that it's going to be the naming of my youngest daughter, and I will not be able to come in on a Saturday. So he said, "Are you Jewish?" He was so surprised. I mean, most of the faculty here were not Jewish.
In the medical school, sir?
Very few indeed. In the LSNA, there was Dean Haber. And then there was Isidore Lamp.
He was in the medical school.
Who came to Ann Arbor in 1930. Around about
was in the 1930s. Yeah, I think they both were, though.
Radiation therapy.
Radiation therapy.
Right. And then there's Casimir Fayons, who was a physical chemist. Reuben Kahn, originator of the Kahn test for syphilis. He was at the medical school. Jonas Salk, with the polio vaccine. He was in the School of Epidemiology. And Phil Elving, who was in analytical chemistry. Those are the ones that were...
Old-timers had been here before
we came.
We found, actually, a tombstone was delivered to Hillel Foundation. Rabbi Rudolph was a director. Rabbi Rudolph was leaving Ann Arbor to take a position up in Washington, D.C. So he gave this tombstone to Rabbi Kensky. And the tombstone remained in our building in the basement for a while because nobody knew what to do with it. Nobody knew where it came from. It was a stepping stone at a fraternity. And when it was turned over, it was all beautifully preserved Hebrew writing.
Inscription,
yeah. And it stayed. So finally, Rabbi Kensky said to me, "Helen, you'd like a challenge. Go ahead, find out where this came from." Well, I started my research, and ultimately, I'll make it short. With the help of the president of the university, Harold Shapiro, who himself was Jewish, he told them in the planning department, open up all the files. And we discovered that where the Rackham building at the university is today was the site of the first Jewish cemetery in the state of Michigan. And there was a whole community, which I uncovered, going from 1840 to the 1880s. And then there were stories that maybe there had been a pogrom or what happened. There was no pogroms. It just happened that the families moved away. And the businesses took them to Chicago and New Jersey. And anyway, when that tombstone, we couldn't initially find out what to do with that tombstone. The rabbi said, "Well, we should really plant it in our garden because it's an object, it's a historical marker." And Henry Gershwitz was sitting at the board meeting. He says, "Over my dead body." And he didn't realize what he was saying. And everybody broke into laughter. It was very, very funny. And then, I published an article, The Early Jews and First Jews of Ann Arbor.
It was written up in the newspapers,
and the 1980 was the marker. I think 83 we had a dedication. We had to undo Temple Beth El in Detroit. Temple Beth El was a claimant for the first Jewish cemetery in Ann Arbor, and so the Michigan Historical Society undid that, and we have a historical marker at the site. And that site also was the site for the establishment of the Holocaust Memorial, which also honored Raoul Wallenberg, who was a graduate at the University of Michigan. Baskin was the architect of the sculptor. Speaking of cemeteries, we have a cemetery in Ann Arbor, which was bought by Phil Seymour, purchased for the congregation. And it's inside the Arbor Crest Cemetery. And it was wonderful. He bought a whole area of land, and we laid out the plots and so forth. And the only other thing that I think is important to talk about is the arrival of the community gets renewed. More people come in, like the first originally was at the town and gown, this is the townspeople, and then the gown people came in, university and so forth. And it constantly gets renewed. And then we had the cycle of the new Americans, we call them, the influx from the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union. Bechtel Corporation was here, and they hired a lot of people, engineers and so forth. The Russians were they're not really Russians, we call them New Americans. They were very talented. And it turned out, we found out that there were a whole community of Russians, new Americans, who were coming to the community and revitalizing our community, mind you. And the cycle of life was coming on again. And all these people who came, like Matt Katz and Nelson and the other families, had mothers or fathers, and they were elderly, and nobody was taking care of them. The younger people had to take jobs. They didn't have time to take care of their elderly parents. So Rabbi Kensky came back from his sabbatical, and Claire Bernstein and Iz Bernstein, at that time, were sponsoring another Russian family. Their name was Bernstein. This family's name was Bernstam. So they claimed them as relatives. And they were stocking up furniture and trying to get them out. So we all coalesced and came together. The Bernsteins, Bernstam, and the Bernstams also had a mother and so forth. And we formed a committee called the Soviet Jewry Absorption Committee, SJAC.